We read these verses just a few minutes ago. That scene outside of Bethlehem, the angels appear. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Not long ago, Maggie received a gift. It was a subscription to masterclass.com. This website with an enormous library of masterclasses. That is, a series of videos with experts in particular fields who would teach you the tricks of the trade. So, you want to learn about acting? How about a class with Helen Mirren or Samuel L. Jackson? You want to learn more and refine your skills in the kitchen? How about a class taught by Wolfgang Puck or Gordon Ramsay? You want to avoid being manipulated by the used car salesman? How about a class taught by the FBI's top hostage negotiator? A master class. An expert who teaches you something that you can use, something helpful. Well, that came to my mind this week as I was looking over and meditating on Luke chapter 2. This scene outside of Bethlehem with the angels and the shepherds. This was to be the climax of our Advent series. If you've been with us here at Emmanuel, we've been taking a few of these messages leading up to Christmas, studying the familiar Christmas narratives, and thinking about power. Power. We studied a couple earthly powers in Caesar Augustus and Herod the King, and tonight was to be the climax, looking at the heavenly power of the angels who appeared outside of Bethlehem. So looking at the angels, what do we learn from them? How can we understand this scene where they appear? How does this help us? Then it dawned on me. The angels give us a masterclass. A masterclass on glory. You see, angels, far more than any other created being, this class of created beings, they know glory. Not experts in cooking or acting, experts in glory. So as we look at them, well, we can learn. We can grow. Well, actually, we'll take it in two quick parts. First, we want to be convinced of their credentials. And secondly, we want to just watch and learn. First, let's take a minute and convince ourselves of their credentials. This, of course, is where a master class gets its force. You pay attention because this guy is the expert. Well, as you think about angels, there really is no one else who knows, outside of God himself, knows glory. You see it here in our text, in some of the passages we've been reading together this evening. The first angel we met was the angel Gabriel. He appears to Mary, and you remember how he describes his appearing. He says very specifically that he was sent from God. Picture it. God's own personal messenger who comes from the glorious throne room of the King of Kings and arrives on earth. Well, that was just the first scene. And then we go outside of Bethlehem in that field of shepherds, and there is the first angel who appears, the unnamed angel, and we're told that he appears, and when he does, the glory of the Lord shines around him. It probably is a reference to that bright, shining, glory presence of God that shows up so often in Scripture. You remember back in the Old Testament, there was the pillar of cloud in the wilderness, or the glory cloud that descends and fills the temple, the light of God's glorious, special presence. And here is this angel outside Bethlehem. And when he appears to the shepherds, the brilliance of God's presence and glory appears around him. Then you have the great multitude of angels join him after his initial speech. We're told it's a multitude of the heavenly host. A multitude of the heavenly host. That language of a great company of angels, it shows up several different times in Scripture. But more often than not, the picture that we're given of a great multitude of angels is not a scene in Scripture more often than not, a scene on earth, but a scene of heaven, where God, in several places of Scripture, kind of pulls back the curtain, and we get to see the scene of heavenly glory, God's great heavenly throne room, where he appears on his throne, and around him myriads of angels who behold his glory day and night and sing of his praise. They respond to his presence with worship, with adoration, with songs of joy. And that's what appears outside of Bethlehem to the shepherds. The very entourage of heaven comes down and now appears on earth. Do you see the point here? These angels, they are experts. They are experts on glory. And that's an important point for us to ponder, because part of the difficulty that we have with glory is we run to the wrong experts. We run and listen to unqualified voices. When it comes to glory, majesty, that which is worthy of attention and praise and trust, that which is good, that which is life-giving and satisfying, well, we tend to trust the expertise of unqualified voices. We tend to get our advice on glory from, well, the world around us. What's everybody on Facebook giving attention to? And we might chuckle, but those kinds of things get in our head and absorb our attention. Or even just the people around us and what they're absorbed in. Or even led by our own hearts. Our own thinking and desires and wills guiding us to what seems to us to be good and majestic and worthy of life and attention. But the difficulty is that sooner or later those earthly paths will disappoint. Why? Because they're all guided by fallen humanity. And what does God say about us after the fall? That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we do not, in our sin, reflect and truly understand and appreciate the glory which we were called to live and acknowledge and follow. Instead, we're distracted by things and absorbed in things that don't befit the greatness and the glory of God. So, we, who are really strangers to true glory, need better experts. We need to look beyond ourselves or the people around us. We need a master class taught by real experts. And here's where the angels come in. So, convinced of their credentials, we can begin to watch and learn. So, what is it that these experts in glory give their attention to? What do they find absorbing? What do they want to sing about? So we'll go back to our narrative here, especially that scene outside of Bethlehem with the shepherds in the field. Notice what delights and captures the attention of these heavenly, glorious beings. Well, it is Jesus and his salvation that he brings. So you have, first of all, the initial angel appears. And what does he say? He speaks of something amazing. Notice the language, the exalted language. He says, good news, great joy for all people. What is it, we might think? What's the news? Jesus is born. Jesus is born. And then he begins to describe this child. And what he does in describing just how great and glorious this newborn child is, he just piles up titles to describe him. A Savior, Christ, the Lord. Those three titles, Savior, Christ, Lord, they actually only appear all together in one spot. And that's here. It's as if the angel, in order to properly describe the greatness and the glory that has come down from heaven and appeared there, just the angel has to just pile up exalted titles. And powerful titles they are in this explosion of delight. He says, a Savior. That is, one who rescues. Throughout the Old Testament, most of all, that word Savior reserved for the rescuing God. The God who delivers his people. And now, the angel says, the Savior is here. The one who came to save his people from their sins. Savior, he's here. Christ. Christ, that is, Messiah, anointed one. And especially, it's a fulfillment of the great promise to King David from long ago. That an anointed king like him, only so much greater, would arrive. One who would establish an eternal kingdom that would never, ever end. and the angel announces, "He's here." Finally, "Lord," that is, the sovereign God, right? Just as Isaiah had predicted it, that the child born, the son given, would be mighty God. And the angel, in his excitement, in the greatness of announcement, just piles up these titles, Savior, Christ, Lord, he's here. And he no sooner gets those words out of his mouth than he's joined there by this myriads upon myriads of angels, this great army. Heaven's entourage shows up, and what are they doing? They're singing glory to God. And what do they proclaim? In the midst of that glory, they proclaim peace. Peace. Peace on earth. Well, eventually we know it's a peace that will extend to the ending of all strife and warfare, the ending of all strife and in relationships between men. But the foundational peace that they sing of is where that begins and where that is most powerfully evident. That is peace between God and his people. Because there is the great problem. There's the great problem. We have fallen short of God's glory by our sin and our rebellion. It has us at odds with God, in a warfare with God. And God, having every right to cast off those who have rejected his glory, instead decides to make peace. Peace through his son. Peace we'll learn through his death on the cross for sinners. And that death on the cross hasn't even happened yet, but the angels proclaim peace as if it's already done. Why? Because the king has arrived. The rescuer has arrived. The peacemaker has arrived. And it's as good as accomplished. And the angels, throughout all of this, have their attention, have their focus, have their songs of joy focused on Jesus and his salvation. These experts in glory, this is what captures their attention. This is what they identify as truly glorious, truly great, truly majestic, life-giving, worthy of song in our whole being. Ultimately, they point us, it's not the things of earth, however good the things around us might be, that the greatest glory is that which not is of the earth, but that which came down from heaven to earth to rescue us. And there is where we will find life. As we focus with the angels upon him, there is true rescue. There is heavenly glory that can fill our lives as he captures our hearts. And we too, with the angels, sing his praises and cast our eyes upon him. As we look ahead, perhaps into the new year, probably all of us have this deep down list of hopes. List of ways that we probably would love to see the year ahead different than the year that is ended. Right? Probably very good things on your personal list. And I hope you get many of them, if not all of them. But it is good for us to remember going in that those things on the list, as good as they might be, will never truly satisfy. They won't. Why? Because they are not the fullness of glory. Those earthly things, good, created by the Lord of glory, but there but to point us to something greater. And the angels remind us of that something greater. It is the Lord himself, the one who came down, the one who rescues. So guided by the angels and strengthened by God's word and his Holy Spirit, we can spend even today and the year ahead focused on something that is truly glorious, that truly will satisfy. That which brings life as we trust in the Savior, as we draw near to him, as we sing of him with our words and with our lives, there is something worthy of glory. There is something that will not disappoint. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word which shows us where true life is. And we pray, Lord, thanking you for this gift you have given, this one where we can see, Lord, the greatness of your glory. Lord, manifest that in our lives, we pray, through your rescue and through your sustaining grace, that we might more and more keep our eyes fixed upon you. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.